Now, today I want to just say something, and then the main aim actually is so that we can once again pray, you know what I mean, about issues, especially about our country. And now I want to just remind us again of the things that underlie these things, that is, the spiritual principles behind what goes on the earth, and why it is important that we pray. We've talked about it before, that Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. I don't ever forget that. He said they ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart. And I say all the time, the reason why he will say pray and don't lose heart is that there will always be, or let me say it this way, oftentimes there is a reason to lose heart. You will be discouraged. That is, you will pray for something and to appear as if the opposite is what is happening. And that's why the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. You know, I was listening to the Bible the other day on the CD, and I noticed that as soon as Moses began to preach the gospel of deliverance to the people of Israel, the first thing that happened was that they entered into greater bondage. Now, did you hear that? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. The moment Moses arrived and said to the people, God sent me to you to come and liberate you. So they went and told Moses, Pharaoh, we want to go into the wilderness to go and sacrifice to our God. And what was it that happened? Instantly, the bondage increased. Instantly, trouble was mounted upon them. Before, they will get straw and make bricks. Then Pharaoh said, they are lazy. That is why they are talking about going to worship one God somewhere. So let us increase their work. Let's increase the demand upon them. How do we do that? Now, don't give them straw anymore. Because those days, the way they used to make brick was to mix, you know, now we use concrete, you understand, right? And then we use iron rod. So you mix the whole thing together. Those days, they use mud mostly. So as to give it some tensile strength, you know. There are different kinds of strength in these things, all right? Now, so as to give it some strength, so it doesn't crumble easily when you try and pull it. So they have to use some fibers to mix it together, all right? And that fiber was made out of their own kind of straw they had then. So they will give you straw, you mix it with the mud, whatever it is, the mortar, everything you are using. And then the thing gets solidified, that's how you make the brick. So for you to make brick, you needed to have straw. Now, when Pharaoh, therefore, wanted to increase their problem, he said, nobody will give you straw anymore. You have to go and look for straw and make your brick. And you must still meet the same quota of bricks. Now, why did I go into all of that? To let you understand that the moment the gospel of deliverance came to them, the first manifestation was that their problems became worse. In fact, they came to Moses and said, who sent you? Like, who did you say sent you? What is going on here? All right? The moment they began to ask for deliverance. What am I going to explain? Let's talk about the matter of prayer. So sometimes like that, people start praying, then problems commence. In fact, you see when Jesus wants to deliver somebody, if I want to bring it, demon into the presence of Jesus Christ, you start misbehaving. Maybe the man used to increase up to level 5 before. Once he sees Jesus, the thing will increase to level 7. You understand? Because there's panic. Actually, spiritually, that's what's going on. There's panic. The evil spirit is panicking. He knows that something is about to happen, so he starts panicking. So, because of that, Jesus now said, look, this is what will happen. Men should always pray without getting discouraged. That's in the book of Luke chapter 18. Alright? And then after that parable, for I'm not going to read it now. I just wanted to remind us of that. Now, so you see, this is a principle of life. We pray one way. It may not happen the way we are thinking quickly. So Jesus said, don't be discouraged. All right? I say all the time, life is a battle. All right? You keep fighting. It's not the first time you fire a shot in modern day warfare that you win. You have to fire many rounds. You understand? You may have to call for aerial reinforcement. You may have to call for, what they call it, you know, they'll give you, come and help you bomb some of the guys in front, and you are still there. Sometimes you are embedded in, you are dug in for days, months, sometimes it gets that bad, all right? But you have to win the battle, you understand my point? Ultimately, you must win the war. I'm going to say it again, it's not just one day, especially, what I want to talk about is the matter of intercession, how it works, all right? So we have to be persistent, we have to be continual, we have to ensure that the things that we are looking forward to, we don't change our minds, because that's one of the things that happens. After a while, because people are discouraged, they start modifying their expectations. Are you getting what I'm not explaining there? But God says, no, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Just be persistent. All right. So I just wanted to talk about that briefly again. Well, I don't know how long we're going to be on it. But this time around, with a focus on the matter of praying for, like, Nigeria, praying for your nation, wherever you are, praying for things that are outside you. So let's start with this one, Psalm 115, just a few verses from verse, let me just start from verse 14. Let's start from 12, just to get something together. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear him, the small together with the great. Verse 14 says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, now maker of heaven and earth. Now, verse 16 now says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. I just read that one to point out the fact that God has a plan. He wants to bless people, all right? And he is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He now said in verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, let me say this. I just want to remind us of some things before we begin to pray. Now, the events that occur on this earth are controlled by a number of things. Are you getting me? Number one, the first and the most important of the things that control the events of this earth is the will of God. What did I call it?
The will of God.
I didn't hear you.
The will of God.
Thank you. Now, the will of God is number one, is the most important thing. Now, but you must understand something about the will of God. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The will of God is recorded in heaven, is written. They actually have documents. They have scrolls, all right? They have books. These are expressions you see in the scriptures to tell you about the libraries of heaven. There are books in there, all right? Concerning Jesus, when the prophetic word was that in the volume of thy book, it is written of me. That is, God had written things about him. He said books were opened, another book was opened. That is the day of judgment, you understand? We've studied these things again and again. Now, so you find out that there are books in heaven, all right? And that's where the will of God is recorded. So you find Jesus teaching us to pray. He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Literally, they just said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So people often misinterpret it to me like this. They misread it that Jesus was saying, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that thy will be done on earth as it was recorded, all right, in heaven. Now, so you see that God has a will. God has a will. But you see, for the fact that Jesus told us to pray for that will to be done on earth means that it may not be done on earth except we pray like that. Please, you must understand that the will of God, even though it is recorded, number one of the things that control the things on this earth, we said, is the will of God. But it is in heaven. So we read from here, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He can write anything he likes over there. Did you see the way I read that? That is, the heavens are what? The heavens of the Lord. So he can write anything he likes in heaven. The books there are his own. He writes his will on them. Now, what happens on this earth? Remember, that's what we're talking about, things that control it. All right? The will of God, though it's recorded in heaven, does not necessarily work out easily like that on the earth. Eventually, it works out. Eventually, his purpose, his counsel will be established. Don't ever forget that. Eventually. What did I say?
Eventually.
It's the word is eventually. All right? The word preached. I mean, that's what prophets do. There is a book in heaven. God shows them the book. You're going to read the story of John in the Revelations. They will see the book, and then they will prophesy the things that are written in there. But the word preached, that is, they are now preaching, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it, which means that the word preached may not come to pass. And my best way of illustrating it is the story of Jonah. Jonah, I preached a message, and I've talked about it here and there, but that first time I explained this in our records, I titled the message, Poor Jonah, all right? Activating the prophecy by prayer. That's what I called it. Now, Jonah, God spoke through Jonah. We won't talk about that in detail, but just to remind us again that what happened was that Jonah refused to go to Nineveh because he was used to being embarrassed. Several times in the past, God had told him, go and tell these people, by next week, all of you will die. You understand my point? Next week, they will get there. All of them are alive. Not only alive, they are very well. In fact, they have multiplied. Are you getting my point? That happened many times before to Jonah. So next time they said, go. He said, I'm not going. They said, go and tell some people, look, all of you will be blessed. By next year, there will be a blessing. The following year, Jonah got there. Poverty has become worse. It was as if this man was telling lies. But the reason is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He has written those things in heaven. For it to occur on the earth, many things affect it. We've been talking in the last few weeks about the conduit pipes between heaven and earth. So the heavens, all right, the will of God is written in there. But on the earth, before it manifests, in Jonah's case, let's talk about it again. In Nineveh's case, what happened? Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and go and cry against the city. But then one thing he did not bear in mind, or he wasn't sure of, he did not know what would happen, whether to go this way or that way, was how the people would respond to his prophetic word. So when he said, go and cry against Nineveh, say to it, 40 days hence, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the king heard it, when the people heard it, they called a solemn assembly, and they began to repent. And for that reason, the judgment that was determined against Nineveh was suspended. And you will see, when you go and see Nebuchadnezzar, after he dreamed the dream, Daniel explained to him things he could do to suspend the days of judgment so that the days of prosperity will be lengthened. The will of God is recorded. So a prophet reads the scrolls of heaven and declares those things on the earth. But you see, before the will of God comes about on the earth, it is affected by two other things. You know, I started by saying three things that control what happens on the earth. Number one, the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. That's number one. Then number two, the behavior of men, how they behave. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. And he said, seeing that they were not able to enter because of disobedience. All right? So you find that disobedience prevents you from entering into the experience of that which is recorded. God said, yes, next year they will all be blessed. But you see, some things are, God's promises, the manifestation of it, they are predicated upon certain behaviors amongst human beings. Again, we can easily look at that. He said, will I hide what I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? Seeing that, you know, he's going to be surely be a great and mighty nation. And he's going to command his household after him concerning how to do righteousness and justice so that God can bring upon him what he has promised. That is, yes, there's a promise over Abraham. There is a promise over his household, over his descendants. He said, but except they learn how to do righteousness and justice, it will not come to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man of God who was not named came to Eli. Did I not say to your father's house that he will be priest before me forever? He said, but now, far be it from me. Why? Because whoever honors me, I will honor. So even though I said to your fathers that they will be priests before me forever. So the manifestation, all right, like I was saying, the manifestation is predicated upon the fact that they will always honor me. So God had a plan. The household of Eli will be priests before God, all right, forever. Then, when the people refuse to honor, that's in 1 Samuel chapter 2, right? Yeah, chapter 2, verse 27. The man of God came to Eli and said, thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling? And you honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of my offering, of the offering, of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Why did we read this? We wanted to point out the fact that though God had the plan, the behavior of people on this earth decides whether his plan will be manifested or it will not be manifested. Remember, we're talking about following God fully. We have to follow him completely. Now, I'm not talking about this in detail. But at least you've gotten the point. Concerning Abraham, he said, will I hide what I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? Let's just read that one also. Genesis chapter 18. He said from verse, let's just say 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That is, for them to experience what God spoke about Abraham, they had to learn how to do righteousness and justice. We've talked about that. Now, that is the second thing that affects what occurs on this earth. Number one, the will of God, the plan of God, the recorded purpose of God. Number two, the way those of us on earth behave. If we hear the word and believe it, and it affects our behavior, the word preached will profit us. Now, we also saw these examples. The number three, which is what we want to talk about again, beginning from today. Number three is the prayers of people. What did I call it?
The prayers of people.
That's number three. Those are the three things you put together, and then things begin to occur on this earth. A lot of times, people get confused. You know, those who say there is no God, people say it a lot. You know, it's not good to be ignorant to. It's not good. You'll be there, you'll be fooling yourself. And those who know, you'll be saying, and you know, have you ever seen an ignorant man talk boldly? In his foolishness, he'll be talking nonsense. A lot of people say they don't believe in God. Once I heard a friend of mine was telling me recently, a classmate, that he doesn't believe in God. And when he was talking, it pained me that we didn't have time to talk. I said, look, I'm not saying you should believe in God or not. If you like, don't believe in God. But please, not on these premises. That the reasons you are giving are very stupid. I remember Tai Shodan in those days, he said that he didn't believe in God. Why? Because he asked God for something. And God didn't do it for him. That means God doesn't exist. I said, that means most daddies don't exist. No, think about it. Most daddies don't exist too. Because many times, sons and daughters ask daddies for things and they don't get it. Many people have said they don't believe in God. Because if God really is there and is a kind God, how come there's so much evil on the earth? If God is there and he's kind, how come he allowed Hitler to smoke 6 million Jews? Where was God when Osama bin Laden was bringing out the Twin Towers? Where was God when a cult in Nasarawa State last week or the week before, you know, decided to kill 40 policemen and say security servicemen? Where was God when a building was collapsing in Bangladesh, of which final death toll is over 1,100. Where was God? Come on, if God is there and is as good as we say he is, how come these things happen? And my friend was telling me that guy, my classmate, that he was quoting a man, all right? I heard that man speak also. That how can a God that you claim is good build a furnace like hellfire and then send people to that place? You know, as he was speaking, it was paining me. That you are talking ignorantly, you are speaking against the principles upon which you live your everyday life. Why do men make that mistake? Because they don't understand. In fact, the people, all right, the people of faith, the word of faith preachers, trying to answer this, they committed another error. They say it's the devil. Now, did you hear me speak about three things that control what happens on this earth? Did you notice that in none of them did I mention the devil? Did it strike you? Because the devil only has power where men are disobedient to God. It is their disobedience that has the power of the devil. The devil himself doesn't matter. The Bible says he that has the power of death, that is the devil. Now, look at it. You say, but that's what the Bible says. Are you saying it doesn't have influence? Now, notice carefully. He said he has what? The power of death. This wages of sin is what? Death. What gives the devil power is sin. So that's why he comes into my second category. The behavior of men on this earth. When they disobey God, the devil gets strong. And you see people every day peddling fear of the devil. The one I've been saying in recent months is that there are demons that move between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. A good Christian should wake up at that time and be modulating their activities. You know, sometimes you will say things that don't make sense. That is okay, sit down here. What activity are you modulating? Because most road traffic accidents happen in the afternoon. Most bombing, Boko Haram style, happen in the afternoon. So what are you modulating? Now, why am I talking about all of these things? It's confusion when we don't know exactly how things work. Christians now start blaming the devil for everything. Pray that this year, the devil will have no part in my life. Pray! Honestly, it sounds like a good prayer point, right? The truth is that I'll ask you, what does it mean? You want to know? He never had any part in your life if you're a true Christian. What he was trying to do was to deceive you. What he was trying to do was to tempt you. What he was trying to do, all right, was to accuse you. And you have prayed prayers that don't address any of those things. Don't ever forget, the devil is not God in your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In your life, the devil is not God. So, we Pentecostals get confused. We now start blaming the devil. Start raising prayer points against the devil. Meanwhile, the devil really is not the problem. The main problem is the behaviors of mankind. When they walk in disobedience, they strengthen the devil. And the only thing that can disarm that devil is obedience. You cannot cast out by shouting a devil that arrived because of your disobedience when your obedience has not been made complete. Let me say it again. If your habit of disobeying the word of God and the precepts of God remains with you, and that habit has brought satanic oppression into your life, demonic confusion into your society, into your system, you can't cast that devil out as long as your habits remain the same. Because spiritual things are dynamic. It's like a spring. You kick the devil out, and he actually goes out for, let's put it like this, for a time in the realm of the spirit now. But as soon as he goes out, the door, now listen, doors that open in the realm of the spirit only sucks devils in. You don't open the devil to push the devil out. He can go out if the door is closed. For him to enter, you have to open the door for him. So if that door is open, you force the devil out, automatically he's sucked back in. The only way the devil goes out and is permanently out is when we repent. Are you getting my point? And then we'll not tell the devil, you don't belong here. Once he goes out, he can't find his way back in. So if we stand and say, in the name of Jesus, out, he has to go out. Out. But as soon as we finish saying out and he has gone out, instantly, he identifies the door again and he returns inside. So, essentially, no point disturbing him. Let him just stay there. Don't waste your energy. He's not going anywhere anyway. We must understand that. Let me say it again so that I can go on with what I'm saying. Any demon, any Satan that disobedience brings in is not going anywhere until obedience is complete. Therefore, Christians don't come out fighting demons. Oh, you evil spirit, in my life, I cast you out. The first thing we'll do is that, oh boy, how you take Rishi in the first place? How did you get in here? How come my head is never correct? I always have tension headache on this side. I don't sleep well. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. I have suicidal thoughts. I'm just totally discouraged. I'm depressed. I can't move. And somebody said, you have a spirit of depression. And that's not a lie. There is a spirit. It's called a spirit of heaviness. That you have a spirit of heaviness. So we're going to cast it out. Fine. Listen to me. Bow your head. Let them pour oil on it. and the spirit of heaviness disappears. As soon as you go back home, you know, the guy will be waiting at the door. Say, Pastor Alpha, you don't come back from church. Now he go open door for you. Come here, sir. Then two of you will lie down there together again. It starts again. Ah, he said, after that service, I was so, what's happening? They say, oh, last time it was 2 days casting out. This time, it's going to be 1 week. This time around with fasting. And you know, Christians go through it all the time. And they are not helped. They are not helped. Why? Because there's one commandment the fellow is breaking all the time. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? It's an express word. So that fellow breaks it all the time. Because of that disobedience, the spirit of despondency enters into his life. Brings the spirit of heaviness and calls their friend the spirit of suicide. And all of them gather together and sit down there. The thing that opened the door is disobedience to one word that says, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That fellow will be delivered better like this. He comes for a teaching meeting, and somebody explains to him, tomorrow is in God's hands, and he says, amen. And Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. You don't have to be worried. Why are you competing with other people? As soon as he's imbibing those words, he said, ah, Lord, I repent of comparing myself with Chooks over there. I repent of comparing myself with Thomas there. I repent of comparing myself. After he repents like that, those evil spirits, in fact, next you hear, wow, one car will jump another outside. What happened? As the demons were running across the road, now they confused two drivers. They were running away from his life. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Evil spirits be funny. When they leave you, like they have to do something. On their way out, they must kill something. You can't see those pigs. Ask them what happened to them. As they left the life of one man, they had to pass through the pigs to soften their landing. So while they were leaving the pigs, they all killed all the pigs. Go and read this book. One of Kenneth Hagin's books, I've forgotten which one. He cast out a demon that was hanging one man, actually. All right? Interpreting that is a bit complicated, but let me just use it. The man drove out the demon that was hanging in the roof of a church. He saw into the realm of the spirit, went after that evil spirit, and drove it away. And he was watching the demon run down the road and entered into a bar. The next night, the bar burnt down. The whole building burnt down. Demons. Sometimes you see car just jam like that. Now one man just repents across the road. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I've made? The point is that if disobedience allows evil spirit in, casting it out doesn't work. That gate of disobedience must be closed by complete obedience. And then the evil spirit can now be driven away. And many times you don't even have to talk. Suddenly he's no longer welcome. He doesn't enjoy it anymore. The home is no longer nice for it. It's everywhere is uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit has now come in full blast. And some angels are looking for who to cut, you know. They're not hanging around. When they find that evil spirit, what do you think they will do? So that evil spirit also knows. So he runs away. And you have not even prayed a prayer of deliverance for that fellow. All he did for himself, all she did for herself, was to pray a prayer of repentance from dead works. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is a power of God unto deliverance. That was salvation. Alright? It's the same word also that's used for deliverance. Please, I hope you're following. Oh, no, explain. I hope you're following me. What have I said so far? The behavior of men. Very crucial. That's not supposed to be my main message today, alright? But that's why the devil gets his power. That's why when I was saying the three things I'll call that control what happens on the earth, I said number one, the will of God. That's the one that gives us the whole direction. In each person's life, it does not always work out. God went to the nation of Egypt and called out his people Israel. Let me take you to the promised land. But they never reached there. They never reached there. The only ones that entered, Joshua and Caleb. Apart from Joshua and Caleb, nobody has entered. Why? The word preached did not profit them. But listen to this, eventually they entered into the promised land. It's just that it was not that generation that left Egypt. That's what we mean by the purpose of God. And the whole thing was to bring that nation to the point where Jesus could come through them. And no matter what they did, God kept on doing what he was doing. But as you are walking with God, it's good you enjoy your life. Are you getting my point? That as a nation, you are going to bring forth Jesus Christ. Must you be in captivity all these years? You don't have to be in captivity. You can be in the promised land having fun. You can be in the promised land reaping good harvest. You can be in the promised land dancing every Friday. That is a Sabbath day. Yes. You can be in the promised land really enjoying yourself. Not knowing what problems are, what diseases are. All right? The fact that you are going to bring forth Jesus Christ doesn't mean you should suffer like this. Why were they suffering? Disobedience. So the plan of God, which was to bring forth Jesus Christ, was moving on. But in the lives of each individual participant, all kinds of things were happening. Men were getting saved and backsliding. Jacob was suffering and unsuffering. Yeah, are you getting what I'm saying? His children were there fighting each other. Brothers gathered together. In fact, I was listening to the other day. I said, are you sure these people really knew God? Why are the tribes of Israel named after them? It was God just saying that I will do my thing, no matter what they smoke. I don't know whether you got that point. That was what God was saying. I will do my thing, whatever what they smoke. Reuben was there, firstborn, collecting his father's wife. God said, don't worry. I will do my thing. If you like, go mad. They named the tribe after him. The guy was there, collecting his father's wife. What's the name of the other two people? Was it those two ones that were Simeon and the ones that were very, very hot-tempered? Killing men they had made a covenant with. Those things were not right. God said, still name it after them. I will still do my thing, no matter what they are smoking. Go and see Judah. And I said, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You think Judah was a good name? He's not. Look, that guy, this day, he won't be my friend. I don't care which God is serving. He won't be my friend. Can you imagine? And you know, all the children were just down on him, one after the other. And Onan, this one, and it was wickedness in the sight of God, therefore God slew him, and Judah was alive. I don't know which spirit jumped into Ram. You find Ashew. I mean, how would you like to be friend with a man who's looking for Ashew? That's what he was doing. You don't know that? Except that the Ashew was not real Ashew. It was the daughter-in-law. And you know the funny thing about men who follow Ashew? They are the ones that are very super righteous. When he found out the woman was pregnant, bring her out, I'll go to stone her. Agbaya. Look at him. God just saying that what I want to do, I will still do. All these foolish boys, just name the tribes of Israel after them. Honestly, when you read some of those stories, you shake your head. And when you get to heaven, if you find them there, you go change quarters. Now, what am I trying to say? Yes, they're going to bring forth the will of God eventually. But they didn't enjoy the process. And it was not supposed to be like that. Why didn't they enjoy the process? Because of their personal character flaws. Many people, God will just look at them, raise them up after a while, collect their children, say, this guy, I'm through with him. And it shouldn't be like that. So through their lineage, great things will still happen. But that person won't enjoy any bit of it, problems all his life. Why? Because of his own character flaws, because of his own behavior. No, go and read the story of those guys. You don't want to be their friend. Maybe apart from Benjamin and Joseph. Uh-huh. The other guys, anybody who can sell his brother. Go sell your brother. Abba, waiting. Waiting the boy do you. And don't be said they won't sell him. I kid them, they won't kill him. Anyway, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point there? The point is that those men were still bringing forth the will of God. But in their own personal lives, they really didn't partake of the blessing that was supposed to go with it. That's the point I'm trying to make by all of those things. So you see, the will of God, very important. The behavior of men affects how that will, all right, decides how that will affects them. This is school of prayer. And that's why I want to sit on the third, I don't want to say most important thing, but the third thing, which is our focus for this season. And that's the prayers of men. All right? And now, let me just say this quickly. You know, we said then that Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth, as it is written in heaven, as it is recorded. And the point is that if it was not important that we did that, then why on earth did they have to put it for us as a prayer point? That is, if the will of God will be expressed, even though we didn't say anything about it, then why will he put it there for us as a prayer point? Let me quickly say this, all right? I want to get practical now, just to give us a general thing. All right? No, let me say this and I'll get practical. Now, so you find out that, therefore, this is how it works. Our behaviors are important, but then there are people that God calls his own. There are people that they are the priests of God. God said to the nation of Israel when he called them out, he said, I've called you out as my own. You will be a kingdom of priests. Now, notice that. A kingdom of priests unto me. The idea is that you will be the ones to offer sacrifices for the rest of the earth. The idea was that you will be the one to decide what will happen to the whole earth. That's what it means to be a priest of God. That is, they are the ones that will offer sacrifices. They are the ones that will have communion, you know, with God. And therefore decide what is going on this earth. That's what God was planning. And Jesus said it like this. He said, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Please notice this, very, very crucial. What God was saying is that his own people are the ones that will dictate what is happening on the earth. Please. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given. I was saying that this was where the word of faith people often missed it. They blamed the devil exceedingly. You've heard the joke before. Of one man who was passing, and he saw the devil sitting there in front of a church, and the devil was crying. Have you heard a joke before?
Yes.
Mr. Devil, why are you crying? That the lie is too much. Which lie? Anything that goes wrong in the lives of these people, they say, I'm the one. Pointing at the church, thereby indicating the members inside. Even when I don't know about it, they say, it's the devil. A man falls into sin, it is the devil. He suffers, I'm not adding my own words now. He suffers the consequence of his sin. It is the devil. The devil says, wait till now. Wait till I do these people. May they leave me alone for once. That's what happened to us Pentecostals as word of faith people. We blamed the devil excessively. Meanwhile, it wasn't the devil. It was us. We handed the power to him. People say that it was Adam. Adam did his own. You still do your own. Each individual does his own. Adam did not give control of your life to the devil. He gave the control of his own life. Your own life is in your hands to give the power either to God or to the devil. But let's see the matter of priesthood. So you see, as people are misbehaving, their attitudes, their habits, their behaviors, and their misbehaviors, all right? As people are doing those things, all right, what's happening actually is that they are handing power to the devil. Let me give you an example. We are in a city, all right? Just to make it simple. And we are 1,000. Each person has influence in that city. If Achan, all right? You know Achan in the Bible. If he sins, it affects the ability of the whole city to win a battle when they go to Ai. Are you getting what I'm saying? If one person sins, it affects what is going on. And the problem we see in a lot of times is that it's not just how he draws the devil into a situation. It's how the sin itself spreads to other people. How the sin starts getting amplified. Now, so let's assume you are in a place and there are 1,000 people in that city. And 700 of them are sinners. No, 900. They fill that place with iniquity. They fill that place with the power of the devil. What would the other 100 do? Let's even assume that they are 950 or 990. And the 10 are not doing their own iniquities. The 10 are not participating. Now, what the 10 can do, that is those who are not participating in iniquity. One, they are the priests of God in that place. They are the light of the world. They are the salt of the earth. But one thing you must bear in mind is that their light in the world is not just in their character. Just like the people, their behavior of sin is not just the thing that we observed that was the issue. Is what it draws into the situation. Is the evil influences that come in, the power of a curse that they bring into that place. So the other 10 people, they also have something they can draw in. Now listen to this carefully, very carefully. How they respond to the situation will decide whether the power of evil that the other 990 are bringing in, all right, will triumph or it won't. That is where prayer comes in. I said, what happens on the earth? One, the will of God. Two, the behaviors of those people, the 990 and the 10. Now, how would the 10 overcome? How will the 10 influence that place? It is called the prayers of men. What they can do is to pray, is their prayers that rise up to heaven. And that's what gives them power to control what is going on in that place. There are a number of ways they could respond. And Christians often respond when they don't realize this. They could keep quiet and say nothing. For that reason, now, and I'm going to get into that as we are starting now. For that reason, because they've said nothing, the influence of evil that the other sinners are bringing in is quite strong. Are you getting my point? So if God says, because of your iniquity, there will be no harvest. This is interesting part. 990 people will suffer hunger. The other 10, their harvest will also be affected, even though God showed them mercy. That's why I told the children of Israel, when you get into that land, pray for the prosperity of that land. Because in its prosperity, you will also prosper. So if by their own works, the other people are damaging the prosperity of that land, the other 10, the remaining 10, which the Bible calls the remnant, must make intercession. I've gotten there now. They must offer prayers to God for that land. They must. If they don't, you will think all of them are sinners and are being punished equally. Now, the problem these days, when people don't understand, is that they further judge the land. And they don't realize what they're doing. They get up and, you know, let me say this to you quickly. Okay, let me tell you what they get up and do. They get up and start pronouncing curses on the land. And there are different ways by which you do it. Nigerians do it all the time. This Jonathan's head is not even correct. I don't mean your Jonathan, no. I mean the current president. His name is Jonathan. He's not the one I'm talking about. What is wrong with him, sir? The man, I don't know how he reasons. He's too afraid. Every day, they are accusing him. Now, please, I must get into that. All right? Before I leave. Every day, they are accusing him before God. And these are the intercessors. Now, put a pause. Let me quickly go into that so we can put everything together. So when we start praying, we know what we are doing. Nothing happens on this earth that God did not order, including the killing of 6 million Jews by Adolf Hitler. It was not the devil. What did I say? What did I say? Now that's why some people don't believe in God, but I don't care. Truth is truth. You got to preach it. Read your Bible well. Before Satan, devil, succeeds, he goes to the throne of God and asks for permission to succeed. Have you considered my servant Job? You know, okay. Now, go. All I have given him is in your hands. Only don't touch his flesh. That is, if God does not give the commandment to the devil, he can't succeed in his work. That's why he said, I am the one that gave to the that made the one who fashions weapons. Therefore, I say, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. That is, the weapon fashioner cannot prosper unless I say she prosper. No matter how skilled he thinks he is, if I say any weapon aimed in that direction will not fire, don't worry, it can't fire. Before it fires, I must order it to fire. I, God. Love, what of it? We don't understand this. Even the devil just gets up and just, no, listen. The work that God does in heaven is called judgment or judging. That's better. What did I call it? He's judge of the whole earth. Abraham said, will not the judge of the whole earth do righteously? You know what it means to be judge of the whole earth? You don't take any action that he does not command. This is hard, but it's the truth. You know, it struck me when that evil spirit came, and when God said, who will go, when Micaiah was talking about what he saw in heaven. Micaiah said, this was what I saw. I saw all the evil spirits gathering out there. And they were all in God's presence. And I heard God say, who will go and entice Ahab that he might go to Ramoth Gilead and fall there? And one came and said, I will. And God said to him, how? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God now said, go and succeed in that. Now, read it. Read it. You know, it's very interesting. Second Chronicles chapter 18. Let's just start from I'll rush from verse 19. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and follow Ramoth Gilead? And one said this, one another said that. Then a spirit came forward, verse 20, and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said, how? And he said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he, that is the Lord, said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Did you notice that? That is, all that evil spirit had was a suggestion. If the Lord said nothing, he will go there, he will not be able to lie a lie in the mouth of those prophets. Ahab would not believe him. Ahab wouldn't go to Ramoth Gilead. And Rahab wouldn't have fallen there. But because God said it like this, you are to entice him and you will prevail. It's called a blessing. Yes. When God finished creating, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. If he didn't say that word, as the plant grow, let the earth bring forth. Now say, go bring forth. After that, he go bring back. No, that's it. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's what it means. So he said, you are to go. You are to succeed. You will entice him. He will believe you. He will go to Ramoth Gilead. That's what he was telling him. He said, go and do so. That's what it means to be judge. That is, to smoke 6 million Jews, as wicked as it was. It was very wicked. A spirit had to go up. I'm getting there now. Read my book, Acquire Life. I discuss that in details. A spirit had to go up and present before the judge. See, you must understand how God behaves. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I said that before. It means that if you saw God in the life of Abraham, it looked different from what you saw in the life of Isaac. And it looked different from what you will see in the life of Jacob. That's why they didn't say God of Abraham, Isaac. They said the God of Abraham, comma, the God of Isaac, another one, comma, then the God of Jacob. Three. That is why you will hear, go and listen to our series, The Survival and the Death of Moses. God told Moses, you will go, you will do this, and anointed him. And as he was going, God met him and said, I will kill you today. They're like, wait. Do they say we in heaven? Which kind of rap can you rap that will intoxicate the Almighty? But sometimes God looks like that. Because there are different aspects to him. The best way somebody explained it before, once, was how a judge, his son was arrested. And he committed a crime that was punishable by a fine. So he sat down, they prosecuted the case, it was his son. He judged the case, found the boy guilty, and fined him. After finding the boy, that as a judge, he got up, deep behind his pocket, and paid the fine as a father. Are you seeing? Yes. As a judge, he fined the boy. As a father, he paid the fine. That's how God is. God is love. He's also judge. Being love has nothing to do with being judge. You know why? Because as a rule, he must be just. As a rule, he must be what? That is, it must not be heard. Just means it must not be heard that a sinner came before God and he was not punished. I told you before that forgiveness doesn't mean don't do it again. No. Sin must be touched. That is, it must be handled. You pour water here. And I said, okay, don't be angry. And now that I'm not, you are not angry. Let me say, I said, you can go. I'm not angry. Okay, now that I'm not angry, the water where you pour, uncle? Are you getting my point? I'm driving my car. You carry a stone because you smoke and drank something. You broke the glass. Then your eye clear. You say, sorry, sir. Pastor, I want to say now you. I will never have broken your glass. I said, okay, I am being sorried. Amen? You say, sorry, sir. Uh-huh. Okay, now that you have sorried me, the glass you broke, uncle. And don't be angry. I'm not angry. Just I have to go home driving in the rain. What's going to happen? God is judge. He doesn't let that happen. If you break the glass, it must be fixed. So forgiveness with God is not forget it. Forgiveness is that, all right, you have broken a glass that you can't afford to repair. This is how God forgives. God will give you the money. And so you have paid the man. God doesn't, you know, some people just come and say, okay, let me just reconcile the two of you. There's no reconciliation as long as the glass is broken. What's your problem? I've said I would do good ass on the road. Just saying, okay, just don't, you gentlemen, don't quarrel. We're not quarreling, the glass is broken. Which kind of quarrel are you talking about? What God does is that he says, okay, fine. No quarrels. So, how much is the glass? He said, $2,000. So he dips his hand in his pocket and hands the $2,000 to one of the people. If it's the sinner, I say, pay the man. Or pays the fellow directly. And say, the glass is fixed. They say, yes, sir. That's what it means to be just. For Hitler to smoke 6 million Jews, the spirits of destruction had to come up and bring forth petitions before the judge of the whole earth and explain why they must have the right, they must be given the right to round up, put in gas chambers, shoot, you know, put in firing ranges, and kill 6 million Jews. God had to hear their petition, decide it is just. Oh, God, you must get the point. Decide it is just. And say to Adolf Hitler, you will go. You will succeed. You will kill them all. Sounds harsh. It had to happen. As a loving God, as God who is love, he will do that and shed a tear. I don't know what I heard what I said. He will say that, and if he could, he will start weeping for them. He will say, yes, you can go. You will succeed. They will not escape you. Anyone that escapes your gas chambers, your firing squad will catch. Anyone that escapes your firing squad, famine will destroy. Until there remains only a remnant. And that evil spirit will say, thank you, sir. He will not take that empowering word, put it in the life of a man called Adolf Hitler. And more than 10 times, men will try him and he won't die. You never heard the story of Hitler? They planted bombs beside him in the inner caucus meeting of the generals. They put a bomb in a briefcase beside him. Last minute before the man who planted the bomb will plant it, he had the last minute thought that this bomb would be too powerful. So he removed half of the charges. It was in a briefcase. And he put it beside Adolf Hitler. But there was one issue. He put it between Adolf Hitler. Now, between the bomb and Adolf Hitler was the leg of the table. And that leg of the table was big and strong. That deflected the impact from Adolf Hitler. The bomb took Hitler, threw him out of the window, only succeeded in tearing his clothes. As a young soldier, he was in a pit, you know, like one of their diggings. And he left, went that way to go and do something. And a mortar hit the very spot where he was standing, blew it up. And he said, I knew I was sent by God. His life was spared. A man planned to kill Adolf Hitler. He knew where Hitler used to stand to deliver his speech. For a long time, he plotted and planted a bomb in the wall behind Hitler. He timed it by one ingenious method that it took the bomb more than 24 hours to go off. Timed it perfectly. except that the day the bomb was supposed to go off, Adolf Hitler decided to start his speech 1 hour early. And for no, either 1 hour early or normally, he just died. He refused to speak for long. Normally, said the man would talk for hours. He got up and left. After he left, boom, the wall behind him exploded. He was spared. Why? Because people made petition before God ahead of time. Some angelic spirits, some evil spirits, and said that we have to do this. And God said, you will do it. You will succeed. You will kill them all. Anyone that has escaped the gas chambers, your bullets will catch. Anyone that escapes the bullet, famine will destroy. Anyone that famine does not destroy, disease will kill. And all that empowerment was put in one evil man. Christians can't say this. They think it will turn people against their God, but truth is truth. The devil didn't have the power to do it. He had to take an order from God. Once I was discussing with a friend of mine, his wife, you know, he said that down in their village, somewhere in the Riveran area, you know, Riveran area, I have a lot of mammy water spirits. That's a joke. All right, so anyway, you know, the Riveran area, so those spirits that come out of the ocean. One day I heard somebody pray and say, we hereby cast all of you into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, when militancy started, you are wondering why. After casting so many demons into the Atlantic. Now, anyway, say in that aside, there are one lady, a witch. A real witch. No, not those kind of imaginary witches. When a Christian is owing everybody, he now sleeps at night. He said, they are pursuing me. Those are not witches. Those are debt creditors. What did I call them? Where did I call them? These are not witches. This one's a real witch. And she said something. My friend's wife was relaying it. That she said that in the occult, that they, now she was being frank about it, they belong to a particular realm. That before they can do anything, they have to cross over to the realm of light to get permission. I said that this is in the Bible. I knew this once. So that's why I said, look, don't be afraid of any witch. I get my point? Don't be afraid. You know why? You know why? Let me quickly tell you why, so you quickly understand. You want to know? Let me just say this. I don't like preaching this, all right? Not like I don't like preaching. I like preaching it, just that people don't like hearing it, all right? There's a difference between what I don't like preaching and what people don't like hearing. One of the things that those evil spirits must have used in accusation against the Jews before God, all right, was the matter of, you must understand something. Anytime there is Ichabod, that is in trouble. That when glory departs, trouble comes in. Don't ever forget that. When Jesus, by his death, tore that veil, anybody that claims he's practicing Judaism today is under a curse. What I've told you is a simple fact. All right? Now, you must understand what they call the spirit of the Antichrist. John said, anyone who denies, oh, you must understand this, that Jesus is the Son of God, is of the Antichrist. So the whole of Judaism is Antichristal. I hope that English is not too bad. The whole of Judaism. It pains me when Christians magnify it. The word for Judaism is Ichabod. The glory has departed. Are you saying Jews are bad people? No, no. They are just like, they are just normal what? Unbelievers who are practicing a serious kind of a religion that God says not anymore. So when they want to accuse them before God, these are the points that are used. I'm telling you the truth. Nobody is angry that you killed Jesus. No, no, no. You can kill Jesus and still go to heaven. I hope you know that. I can prove it from the scriptures. So. Paul, he was killing Jesus regularly. I'll wake up in the morning and say, guys, we don't kill any Jesus recently. No, kill that one. Y'all wake up again, gather his guys. He was persecuting. So then Jesus appears and say, Saul, wait till I do you. No, you do understand. By the time you come, to come and say, wait till now, this thing is serious. Everybody will be preaching, believe and be saved. Jesus had to come and say, Saul, waiting. He said, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Go and read your Bible. He said, Why persecutest thou me? Is that not what he said? Yes. That is so. We quarrel. I take your wife. You know, this kind of things. At the end of the day, they forgave him, washed him, poured a kind of anointing upon him that when Paul will read his letters, it's Peter will shake. And that was a man. So you can kill Jesus, it's not an issue. Kill him many times, doesn't matter. The day of repentance, na matter. Why? What are the accusations against Judaism? It is that you all gathered and denying. In your gathering, you deny that Jesus is the Son of God. You hang up to a religion that God by himself removed the veil. And some Pentecostals are trying to help you rebuild the temple. And they are confusing you instead of preaching the truth to you. Now, I said don't be afraid. Let me get back to what I said. You shouldn't be afraid. If you are here, you are listening to me and you have believed, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for you. That is when they come before the throne of God and they say, we have to kill him. And God says, fine, go ahead. Why? Because 7 years ago, he did this. 8 years ago, she did this. Before he was born, the father entered our group and made a commitment to us that his second son shall be our sacrifice. And God respects those things. He said, yes, no problem. Any other thing? When he went to university, he joined the cult. Look at what they did. They calculate everything. She killed somebody. Hey, talk. And God said, any defense? And Jesus comes and says, that was then. 4 years ago, she believed. He believed. And by the shedding of my blood, I said, God doesn't just forgive sin and say forget. No. He pays. By the shedding of my blood, I have washed him. I have washed her. All those things they are talking about, I have paid. What about what the ancestors said? He's no longer of the will of flesh. He's now of the will of God. He was born by the Spirit. This one we are talking about is alive by faith. The old man has died. They can go and pick him from the grave. So God, the judge, says to them, because of what my son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world, because of what he has said, is called ever liveth to make intercession. Because of that, you guys can't kill him. That's why you can't be afraid. That's why all the witches, if I see them, I go do like this. What I wish you. But I wish. I did like. I go say, give me five. The guy go run. I said, but I say you'll be wish. Because I know the way it works. And this is not a joke. I can't be sitting down here teaching you occultism. I have to teach you Christianity. Because in the realm of what you call occultic people, what they do is they are accusers. They are accusers of the brethren. That's why, let's talk in a natural plane. A man, a woman who has never done anything worthy of a particular kind of judgment, no witch can put that judgment upon him or her. Until you do something worthy of death, the hottest and hardest ogboni man can't kill you. Even if you're an unbeliever. Even as an unbeliever. Because the only thing the guys do, all right, is to go and make petitions based on your sins against you in the presence of the judge of all earth. That's how it works. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That's why, let me tell you something. As a Christian, oh God, too many things to say. Be careful how you cause personal. There was a day a man did me something bad. I withheld myself from answering him. I said to my chief, if I answer him, he will die. And I meant it. There's a way I will look at a man. Me, bank you are looking at. I will say, it will never be well with you.
Let him struggle all he wants. Poverty will be, that is, poverty go the portion like this. That is, I not go, just say I'm a Christian like this. I understand things. I will say, come here. Anytime you see favor in front of you, it will be like you, it will be like Moses and the promised land. You will never enter into it. You don't have to go to any witch. You see what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers. That's why we know how to warn people. There are things somewhere that say, stop this thing. If you do this, you won't live long. But as Christians, there's something we operate by. We don't do that. That man offended me. I looked at him. I remember I looked at him like this. I engaged my car in gear. My chief said, let's give him money. I said, chief, no. If I talk to this man, he'll die. Let's go. It's called accusation. It's called accusation. All I'm just doing is accusing before God. You don't have to join a coven to practice witchcraft. Come, I will teach you. Oh, God. You don't understand. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. But as Christians, we don't do that. Because God says, he that shows mercy, we obtain mercy. So we are careful to continually show mercy as Christians. More importantly for us, forget who shows mercy, who doesn't show mercy. Our own is that we have received mercy. Are you getting my point? Because we have received mercy, we are careful to extend that mercy to other people. Look, that's how things work on this earth. That's how they work. And so they join cults. I say, look, listen, no matter the cult you join, if a man, a woman has not sinned his sin unto death, you can't kill him. Because all he can do is accuse. Even if you say his grandfather sold him into this kind of thing, God has to wait. What the evil spirits do is to tempt him to agree with his grandfather. They start making him break promises, lie to people, cheat people, disobey constituted authority over his life. Is that again, ancestor said he will not do well. He will not do well. No, wahala. Before ancestor said he won't do well, what he will do is that he will start tempting him when his father says, hey, John Boo, come. He said, leave your papa now old school. So your papa now old school. He get iPhone, no get. He don't know anything. The guy is not on BB. That's evil spirit that wants to kill the man. So next time his father calls him, say, forget my prophecy, Joe. Now, old school. That's the devil. Say, thank you. Why? That was the he that drives out his father. He that causes his father and drives out his mother. His light will go out in the time of darkness. That's poverty. The spirit of poverty can't stay on that guy until he starts doing those things. But what's my message? I'm just trying to teach us. Look, God, oh God, is the one that commands poverty. But from what I've told you, you know, I've discussed with people. If you know why Nigerians are poor, it's easy to explain. It's very easy. That is, there's nothing fantastically spiritual, even though it's spiritual, but nothing fantastically spiritual about it. The spirit of poverty makes people do things that keep them in perpetual poverty. I don't even go into that. I'm speaking too much. But the point I'm trying to make is this, all right? At that judgment throne of God, read my book, Acquire Life. I described it in there. The main prosecutor is called the accuser of the brethren. And he's always recruiting people to work with him. So either you are an accuser, the main defense who makes intercession for the people is Jesus Christ. Or you are a co-defender with Jesus making intercession for people. I set this stage to let you understand something. So Nigeria is always on trial. Nigeria cannot prosper or refuse to prosper because the devil doesn't like it or God likes it. No. God sits as judge over the affairs of the nation. And Satan doesn't want you to enjoy, does not want me to enjoy, doesn't want us to do the will of God. So he has to scatter the country. So constantly he brings up accusation against all of us before the throne of God. And those accusations, this is the shocking part. You and I, we read them every day in the papers. Read my book,
by faith acquire life. I call them echoes of accusation. You hear it. So you see a man sit down and analyze to you why Nigeria will break in 2015. Forget how reasonable he is, how reasonable he is not. He's telling you what the devil is saying every day before the throne of God. Every day, the devil is saying it. It has to break. He takes people as nations. He said, look at the Igbo man. He starts telling you what is wrong with him before the throne of God. He takes take the Yoruba man. He tells everything that is wrong with him before the throne of God. And takes the two of them together and say, God, they can't mix. Then he takes the Kanuri man, takes the Ijaw man. That's how his nations, you know, languages. If you go and check it, I was listening to one man the other day on TV. He said, God does not divide people according to color. He divides them according to language. So he takes them one by one and starts explaining why it must spoil. There are those that they call the elders amongst the people. Oh, their sins are interesting, all right? The sin of the elders. There are those he calls the elders amongst the people, all right? You must understand that. And the interesting about the elders is that their sins tend to be representative, all right, of the sins of the whole people. Once I went for a wedding, and a man said that today's wedding shall be conducted in Igbo language. Why? Because at the last meeting of the Ohanaeze Ndigbo, they decided that all weddings henceforth would be conducted. Now, I want you to understand, the person at the wedding didn't go for the meeting. His father was not at the meeting. But the chairman of the reception was at the meeting. I used to call the elders of the people. So, just to give you an idea, they are the ones that supposedly speak for people. You understand? Anyway, let me make the whole story. So, these are the things that Satan carries those elders and sees them before the judgment throne of God. And they face each other and start explaining why they have to kill themselves. On the other side are the defenders, the prayer warriors, the Christians, the children of God, those that understand the law of mercy. They are the ones that keep on saying the lie. It won't happen. Why won't it happen? That's what Abraham did. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And they start making what they call explanations. And the power of the word they have been preaching. I hope you're getting my point. The truth of the word they have been sending into the air. Those are all the things that are put together to let you know whether Nigeria will survive 2015 or it won't. Not because one man wants it to survive or another one does not want it to survive. Why did I say all this? As I said, let me just say this and I close with it. Although I thought I was going to speak for a short time so we could pray a bit, but we'll continue next time. Imagine now, when you and I that are supposed to be intercessors, we now have been tempted. What did I say? We have been tempted by the devil. We have not crossed over to the side of the accusers. We now join and say, in fact, this nation can't make it. In fact, we are all dead meat. In fact. They will be there every day talking. They will start speaking according to the seeing of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. Can't you see what happened in Maiduguri? Can't you see what happened in Sarawak? Did you hear the one happening in Bayelsa? What is going on right now in Anambra? The last time it happened in Lagos. What have you become? An accuser of the nation. Remember what I said? Temptations are tempting. I said temptations are tempting. They are called temptations because they are tempting. That is, one day you will go home, you ask after your cousin, a big businessman in Kano, and you will hear that Boko Haram beheaded him in front of his children. They are from Anambra State. Your cousin, therefore, is from Anambra State too. And he was a businessman in Kano, and Boko Haram beheaded him and his wife. when they come to the church, let us pray for Northern Nigeria. Yes. That God will kill all of them. You are falling for the temptation. You see why our papers are the accusing, you know, Masop, eh? You know Masop?
Yes.
They are agents of Satan in that area. Yes, I'll tell you the truth. They issue reports, we no go agree. This country must divide, it must divide. Problem, problem, problem. Just leave them alone. Don't join them. OPC. OPC. You know what's OPC? They are agents of Satan. That's Oduwa People's Congress. They are agents of Satan. They don't know. They are not wicked people, though. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The other one, APC. Arewa. They are all agents of Satan. Now, you must understand what I'm saying. Satan does not mean they go to court and say, Elijah, nation must die. No. At a point in time, Peter was also agent of Satan. You know that? So you get what I'm saying? All the people that magnified division and accused the nation into disintegration, they are on one side of the judgment seat of God. They are accusing the nation. And the commandment of God is you must never join them. You must always be on the side of defense. Is it that the things they are saying are not true? Maybe they are true, but how relevant is that when Jesus came to wash away those sins? Once I was in a church here in Enugu, and their big bishop came there and said, what kind of country is this? This is actually not a country. It's not a country. It's not a country. It's not a country because one man and his girlfriend decided to join us and give us a name. It's not a country. How can you have a country where men did not sit down to decide how they're going to relate? It's not a country. I was not surprised when I heard he packed his wife and children and moved to Atlanta. Atlanta is not in Anambra City, in case you don't know. And don't think it's in Lagos because those ones that come near the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantic Ocean and Atlanta are two different places. Atlanta is in the United States. People like that, I just said, stop coming to even preach in this nation. Just go away. Just go away. We don't need you. If you will shut up, you do us better service. Let those of us that have hope and have faith, let us be uttering with God. And God gave us a commandment. He said, I will send you into nations like he has sent you into Nigeria. He said, you will pray for the peace of that country. You will never stand there and be judging. You will pray for what? The peace of that country. And he said you will beg God. That's what we're saying. You will entreat the Lord for its sake. Because in his prosperity, you will have prosperity. That is, you and I are commanded to be on the side of Jesus, to be intercessors for the country. I hope you've got my point. Let me quickly drop this one because I know we have overshot our time very, very well. All right, let me just draw so we can go. Listen, this is the point. Accusation is every day. Defense is every day. Are you getting my point? Listen, accusation, I say, is every day. This country can never have uninterrupted power supply. The kind of corruption is too much. It's true, it's too much. That is beyond the level that is tolerable. But he prepares a table of uninterrupted power supply before me in the presence of exceedingly high corruption. And my home overflows with constant power supply. Let me give you the word of God as I close. We crowd out corruption in Nigeria.
Amen.
He said, listen, I will give you uninterrupted power supply. I will give you a police force that is beautiful.
Amen.
I will give you courts and legal systems that the rest of the world will come and admire and copy.
Amen.
I will give it to you because amongst you I have found those who I call my watchers, who are upon the walls, who will not give me any rest. They are called intercessors. I hope you've got my point.
Yes,
let's close. It's almost 7 o'clock. If we're blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you because I'm an intercessor. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am an intercessor. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am not an accuser. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am an intercessor. In the name of Jesus Christ.